He covers the team for ESPN 710 online, 710sports.com on Twitter. It's at the B Gustafson, Brandon Gustafson. How was life going for you so far during this madness?
Hey, we're doing all right. Baseball's wrapping up, which is a little bit of a bummer unless the Mariners can do something special here. But getting Seahawks football back is always a good thing.
Let's start with MLB because we talked before the season, and it was mostly about finding some answers moving forward. Now into the final week of the regular season, like you said, they're mathematically alive, chasing the Astros, playing the Astros. Just from a fan's point of view, reasonable to think you really couldn't have asked for much more from this group this year.
Yeah, getting the young guys going and playing meaningful baseball with, you know, just a few games left. That was kind of the goal. See, throw some of these young guys into the fire a little bit, sink or swim, and see how they do. But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun and seeing the growth and, seeing some guys like Kyle Lewis just really take to it and surprising people. And then you have guys like Evan White, who it's been a little more of a struggle for, but there's been some bright moments as well. And if they can take the next two games from these Astros, then you got three or four games left, and then really anything can happen.
Yeah, then White hit that rocket in that big win against the Astros. But Marco Gonzalez, 8 shutout innings. 3 weeks ago, he had a complete game against the Angels. I know in February they signed him to what actually was a pretty modest 4-year, $30 million extension. And I know DePoto has not always pushed the right buttons, but man, if you look at that, the fact that he's locked up for that kind of dough through 2024 seems like a pretty wise move for the GM.
Totally, and the thing with Marco, too, as well as he's been throwing the baseball, which is obviously going to be the thing that most people look at immediately with his numbers, which are all-star caliber, is he's the leader in that clubhouse as far as the pitchers go, and those guys like Justin Dunn and Justin Sheffield and LJ Newsom, Nick Margavichis, and a lot of the younger bullpen guys. I mean, that's the guy that they're looking to. That's the guy who they follow. You know, they're going to follow his lead. When they had that really good stretch where they, I think they won 6 or 7 in a row, Marco won 2 games during that stretch, and Jerry DePoto went on our station and he said, yeah, the guys just kind of followed Marco's lead. He threw the ball really well and said, hey, let's do this thing. And that's been awesome to see. And it was funny, the other week somebody resurfaced the tweet from when the Mariners announced the trade for Marco Gonzalez, and they'd given up at the time their number 2 prospect, Tyler O'Neill, to the Cardinals. And you go through the comments and fans are they were not happy. And so it's kind of funny looking back in hindsight, you know, everybody's upset. They're getting this soft tossing lefty. Now all of a sudden he's the guy.
It's a way to kind of view life. Be guided by the comment section on Twitter.
It's a dangerous place. It's a very dangerous place.
Talking with Brandon Gustafson of ESPN 710 in Seattle. You mentioned Kyle Lewis, their dynamite center fielder, who just, man, that guy covers a bunch of ground. He just gets a beat on the ball. And I know folks up there might be slightly tilted, but right now, maybe Luis Robert of the White Sox, Randy Dobnak of the Twins, I think it's a pretty safe bet that he's the Rookie of the Year front runner, you think?
I would be, if the season ended today and he didn't win the award, I would be absolutely shocked. He's better than Luis Robert in basically every statistical category. And what's funny is, you know, I tend to go into the comment section on Twitter, even though I said you probably shouldn't do that whenever Kyle Lewis is mentioned, and you see a lot of White Sox fans, oh, Luis Robert's better, Luis Robert, Rookie of the Year, blah, blah, blah. And one thing that those fans kept bringing up was defense, and I was always like, huh, Kyle Lewis plays a pretty good center field. And then I think seriously the next day after I was kind of reading some of those comments was the play against the A's in the doubleheader where he robbed the grand slam and looked like Ken Griffey Jr. out there leaping over the wall in left center field. So I think he's got it pretty much locked up, which is really cool to see. He had some major knee injuries during the minor leagues and it really set him back. And to see the way that he's been playing, especially defensively, that's just a great thing for this organization.
Yeah, he's going to win it, and he'll be the first Mariner since they went Sasaki Suzuki in 2001. Let's get to the Seahawks, that Sunday nighter. I mean, when you think about the Super Bowl win against, when they played in the Super Bowl against New England, then there was a Sunday nighter. I mean, the premier franchise of the last two decades against the best NFC franchise the past decade. Just unbelievable. I mean, you get the pulse of the fan base. How much was the city just buzzing Monday morning after that finish?
Yeah, people are excited. And it was funny because last week, or week one, meaning, you know, you have the game against the Falcons, and even though Atlanta put up a ton of yards and they got their points and all that, it still felt like that was a pretty comfortable win for them, which was not the case really at all last year. 11 of their 12 total wins, including the playoffs, were by 8 points or fewer. And a term that gets thrown around a lot, especially after last year, was the heart attack Hawks. Like, they make it so much harder than they need to be at times. And that kind of came back in the second half, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Cam Newton was really tossing it well, and he looked really good. But that was just a fun game. Russell Wilson, 5 touchdowns, 5 different receivers, DK Metcalf beating the reigning defensive player of the year multiple times. He had a really good game against Stephon Gilmore. People are really excited, and Dallas coming up is going to be interesting. They're coming off of that big win over Atlanta, where Atlanta just did every single thing wrong that you could have in a second half to lose a football game. But it's going to be a good test for the defense, especially with Bruce Irvin and Marquise Blair, two of their key starters. They lost an ACL injury, so it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of rebound from that.
Yeah, nothing like having a magical game like the one against the Patriots, and then America's team comes to town. You just glossed over it. I want to get into it specifically because we'd be remiss if we didn't address the rough news. They brought back Bruce Irvin to bolster the pass rush. He goes down early Sunday, and then you learn, oh, man, it's a torn ACL. What's the word about how this will impact and who might be in line to, you know, replace what they expected him to do on the outside?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, because there's a few ways that they could go about it. Obviously, they could go out and bring in a free agent. Name that comes to mind and was kind of rumored this offseason was Clay Matthews Jr. He plays that outside linebacker, defensive end spot, has familiarity with Pete Carroll. He played for him at USC.
Right.
If they stay in-house, they could kind of just keep doing what they're doing for the most part. Shaquem Griffin is on their practice squad. He was backing up Irvin both at outside linebacker as well as defensive end throughout the offseason. And, yeah, as I said, he's on their practice squad. Alton Robinson is a guy to keep in mind as well, fifth-round pick out of Syracuse, defensive end. He got really, really good reviews out of training camp, especially because the second-round defensive end, Daryl Taylor, hasn't been able to practice yet because of a leg injury. And he was an active healthy scratch, the first two games of this year. He's somebody that they're probably going to have to turn to as well. I'm not sure if they're going to go out of house to bring someone in. It's at this point, they don't really tend to do that a whole lot. But they've still got some options in-house. But the pass rush, even with Bruce, wasn't that great those first 2 weeks. So
yeah, sure.
Definitely something to watch.
Final thoughts for Brandon Gustafson of ESPN 710 in Seattle. On the back end, the second-year safety from Utah, Marquise Blair, also an ACL, was in there for extra time. When Quandre Diggs got tossed, you had Ugo Amadi, the ex-Ducks, step in, made some plays. But he only played about 7% of the defensive snaps last year. So what is the role about, I guess, what is going to be the role of Amadi, and what does this injury do to, you know, a secondary that they were talking about expecting really big things from?
Yeah, they were really, really high on Marquise Blair coming into this year as that nickel guy. They were really impressed with what he did in camp and how quickly he was able to just take that role and assume it. Ugo Amadi is going to be the guy at nickel. He came in and he played really well. I think he was third on the team in tackles with 8 or so, had a tackle for loss. seem to just be around the football, which is a huge thing, obviously, defensively. As far as safety depth, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring somebody in or bring somebody up from their practice squad. I know that they recalled Lyndon, I think Lyndon Stevens is his name. He's another smaller corner. And Ugo Amadi obviously has some familiarity with safety dating back to his college days. But Ugo's going to be a guy that they're going to be relying on going forward. They wanted to play more nickel this year after being stuck in base defense, I think, about 70% of the time last year. So he's going to have some big shoes to fill because they really, really like what Marquise Blair brought to that side of the football.
And lastly, obviously, Russ Wilson is on an incredible roll. I mean, you mentioned the pass to Metcalf, the great throw and catch by David Moore, who clipped the pylon, got both feet down. Then that really perfectly executed play, Freddie Swain. He's a rookie from Florida. And I saw what you tweeted. He's kind of a unique guy because he didn't have a lot of catches in college, but he ended up with like a fifth of them or quarter of them were for touchdowns. What about his role and how happy the coaches are with his play?
Yeah, they're really excited. And he's somebody who, you know, when you're a lower round draft pick or an undrafted guy coming into the league and you play receiver, a way that you're going to carve out a role is on special teams. And that's the first step for a guy like Freddie Swain. And he's really turned some heads and he's ended up kind of parlaying that a little bit into some playing time at receiver, probably seeing more snaps than most of us expected. But it's clear Russell has some trust in him. He found him for a 17-yard first down in week one, obviously found him for the touchdown in week two. And they just put Philip Dorsett, one of their free agent acquisitions, a wide receiver. They placed him on IR today. He's going to be out for 3 weeks. So it could be something where he gets some more snaps just because of that, gets more of a role in practice. But no, they're excited about him. And it's funny, Steve Rabel calls the games up here. He thought that was Tyler Lockett on the touchdown pass. And so did I, you know, obviously the number 18 looks pretty similar to 16 and they're just built similarly. And it's like, wait a minute, that's not Tyler. That's Freddie Swain finding the end zone for the first time. No, they're excited about him, and he's definitely doing more than I think most of us thought he would at this point of his career.
All right, folks, he's Brandon Gustafson of ESPN 710 up in Seattle online. Check it out, 710sports.com on Twitter. Follow along at TheBGustafson. Brandon, always appreciate your time and insight. Pretty fun time. Enjoy the Astros and the rest of the season, and we'll catch up soon as the NFL season moves along.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
All right. Take it easy.